see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad and the air is acid rain. There's a rumbling in the ground, and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. The prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to the Watching for Jesus Bible Study for tonight. My name is Thomas Gamble. I'm the host of this show, this Bible study, and this network. And I appreciate y'all coming by this afternoon for this study that we do Monday through Friday. And if I'm not here for some reason, which most of the time I am, sometimes something comes up that's a little surprising. And nevertheless, my broadcast continues on the 24-hour loop of the archives. It's a great network wave panel. It works really well. Even when I'm not here, it operates. I actually, with this wave panel, if I utilize its full capacity, it'd be like having your own radio station program. I could program music and news and do things all day long like my own program if I wanted to. As it is now, it runs 24/7. My live broadcasts and Bible studies kind of alternately. And when I do my live program, which is today, the 16th of February, 2015, I cut in on the broadcast. And the last one was December the 17th. And you'll find these broadcasts I cut in on the archives. And you can start where it finished off. December 17th was the one I cut in on. Tonight, I'm going to talk about a plethora of subjects, and I want to get into some of the rapture that we're talking about. And a combination of things tonight, of commentary and study. And I want to dedicate the broadcast, and then I want to get on into it, and we'll talk tonight. I want to talk about end times. The deception that's being thrown at us is just massive. From people that should know better. I don't, it just boggles my mind. I understand making a mistake here and there, or misinterpreting something. But when things are so blatantly being deceiving, it's what boggles my mind. This basic theology. They're trying to throw people off on purpose at the highest level of churches and government. It seems to be increasing every day. So, what I'd like to do is get started tonight. Lord, thank you tonight for this Bible study, and Father, the opportunity you've given us at this network. I raise it up to you, Lord, about every night, and Father, I appreciate how you got it to us, and that we can use this until the time comes that we're on our own. In this world, with you behind us, with you in front of us, and all around us, but Lord, when we're into it, when this tribulation begins, whether this generation or, Father, if you decide to be the next generation, whenever it is, Lord, we pass the torch on to others. Our Father, deal with it when it happens here. Father, we come before you tonight. We ask you to forgive us of our sins. Forgive me of my sins, Lord, that thoughts that may not have been pleasing. And Father, endow me with wisdom, discernment from you and you alone, that, Father, I can lead in these Bible studies. Father, convict me if I should fall away or have thoughts that's unpleasing. As I am human, Lord, but guide me in the right path and convict me if I fall in another direction to never return back to where I was. Lord, listen to the prayers tonight that others is praying. You hear their prayers and you know their needs. And Father, they pray. And Father, only you know who they are, and Father, to answer their prayers. And if there's anything in the way, Lord, that's blocking our prayers, that you'll convict us of them and remind us of what it is we have to reconcile to open up that line to our prayers. Lord, we pray for courage in our country, for the leaders, Lord, for the whistleblowers to come out, for the preachers to come out of the church, of the controlled church, and into the truth, to bring out the true Word of God in the King James Bible, Lord, that many don't even know. Father, we need an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in thy time. But Father, we pray for it now. And we're patient, Lord, to wait. We pray, Lord, you'll lead us this week. Guide us all and with your wisdom discernment to give us that knowledge we need to have to pass on the divine appointments, Lord, that we can witness to others. We pray for our families to sanctify and the families that Father, lead us too. We work together. That Father, we thank you for the confirmations you give us when we meet others that know the same and are also seeking the truth and to teach the truth, that Lord, you give us confirmation when that time comes. And Father, we thank you for everything. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and your Holy Word to put in our hands, which is the sword of the Spirit. These things we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but do deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You know, we go to church and study and like to believe that there's a God, but there's a lot that just go to church and sit in Bible study and hope there's a God, and maybe I can sit on the fence and work both sides. It don't work that way. It does not work that way. You either believe fully or you don't. You can't work both sides of the fence. As some of us do, we go to church, but yet we do things after church that's unpleasing. Yet we go to church, we think it's going to make up for it. Well, it don't work that way. You wonder about this conspiracy that everybody keeps talking about, that I keep talking about. And you know, You see, it's consistent. It's got an agenda. It's got objectives. It's got a direction. Do you ever think that these generals and Illuminatis and so forth that follow Lucifer, Freemasonry, all these generals who say, for example, whatever field that influences mankind, their countries, their militaries. Well, they all dream. There's inventions, there's plans, family heirlooms of passing one generation to the next. Well, you know, all these dreams and inventions and plans and family heirlooms, they die with them. Unless they pass it to someone else that has been explained to them what this is. Pass this on. But if you don't have that, it's not going to get passed on. It dies with them. It just goes away. So it takes someone alive that thinks like they do, motivated like them, trained like them, with the same motivation to carry on the same agenda, equipped like them to keep it going. How's that possible for even 2 to 7 generations, the same conspiracy? When you have a generation gap, or one son doesn't like what his great-great-grandfather did, or he decides to do something different, that's what normally happens. But not in this case. This conspiracy is carried on from generation to generation. Takes up where it left off. That's not human. It's supernatural. Because the supernatural is eternal. If the supernatural is not with God, they're going to be eternally in hell. And humans that follow them will go with them. Humans that don't follow them will not go with them, but will go to heaven. Heaven, you think of a supernatural, but a philosophical, spiritual notion. No. If you want to get technical about it, heaven is like another dimension. Vibrational particles put you in another dimension, not in a dream world where you float around on a cloud, but another dimension that you're everything solid while you're there, because your particle vibrations equal the particle vibrations of that dimension, of which there's only 3. Third heaven, second heaven, first heaven. How this works, I don't know, but some other between the third heaven and second heaven is blocked by water. Water in space, that's what the Bible says. God took the waters and divided the waters, and made the earth. He didn't say divide the waters, made the land. He said divide the earth, the waters made the earth. Say what? Made the universe physical. So moved the waters back, created a physical universe. That's interesting. And then from the universe, has a north, south, east, and west. The limits of east and west stops at the third heaven. They don't keep going forever and eternally. It stops. It's physical. Stops at the third heaven. Barriers at that barrier, wherever it is. North and south will quit. You can't go no further. The next is a dimension of third heaven, water, that you can't get through there unless you're supernatural and lit through by God. See, this is physics, man. This is not just some philosophical, religious notion. It's physics. God created physics so we could live. Only problem is, Satan, with his knowledge, quantified physics, gave its formulas, periodic table, science, to quantify it so he could understand it. And then, over a period of time, trial and error, manipulate it. To a certain extent, God allows certain limits of DNA manipulation, etc. That's where all the formulas come from, and science and all that stuff. And then he teaches humankind to do it because humankind operates within that physical limit. So he must occupy bodies called chelas or avatars to manipulate the physical realm. You've got people like Leonardo da Vinci that were channeled by the fallen angels or avatars, they call them. It's complicated. I'm going to stop there, but I could explain more. But you see, this is not just some philosophical, religious, spiritual notion. This is actually real. This is what they call alchemy, the secrets of the Freemasonry. It goes beyond mortar, bricks, and you know, fire hoses, whatever. It's alchemy, alternative chemistry, and so forth. The secrets of the universe. Secrets of the universe done landed Satan and his fallen angels in the first seat of hell. That's where it got them. For the time being, they're operating in the second heaven and the first heaven, back and forth through portals, and only through negative energy, death, destruction created by negative energy, actually physically opens up portals, allowing them to go in and out. How that works, I don't know exactly. But I just know it does. So by death, destruction, weather anomalies that's produced energy helps open up portals. The ritual, the signals, the signs, the diagrams, the geometric figures have some effect on the vibrational qualities of the molecules, all that kind of thing, as it opens up portals, black holes, allowing them to go back and forth and then occupy other bodies called possession or avatars. And that's why they intermingle with us as humans. But they have to be allowed permission before they can do it, because the Holy Spirit's there. So they get humankind to put a spell on themselves by lust, desire, need, whatever, turn away from God. In a lot of cases, renounce God, renounce Jesus. They can't be fully occupied in the body. That's what's happening today. Who were avatars back in the past? I'm not going to talk about that fully tonight, but who actually were channeled? Well, I'll tell you exactly who. Bismarck, Plato, Columbus, Martin Luther of the 16th century, Lincoln. He shook it, though, because he was not under the control of the Freemasonry. When he shook it, he started doing the right thing, and they had to kill him. Kennedy was also an outsider, Illuminati, outside of the Roman family. Templars, the Irish. He wasn't a Freemason either. Didn't have total control of him. See how it works? They had to shoot him too, because he had power. He could not be occupied. Buddha, as they call him. All kinds of things people don't know. Saint Germain. You'll find Saint Germain attended Wesak Festival last year. Well, the same Saint Germain, oh, this is going to sound crazy, but it's true, was a mysterious character in the 18th century. It's the same one. I know you see the movies and you think, oh, okay, that's it. No. The movies tell you the truth, but they do it in a fictional format. So you won't believe it, and when I mention it, you say, oh, come on, man, you saw that in the movie. Well, actually, I did, but that's not where I got the information from. I got the information from an actual Illuminati textbook, Signs of Christ by Harold Balliaz. It's a serious textbook like Morals and Dogma, Tragedy and Hope. They actually cover true Illuminati principles and teachings. See, a lot of people don't even know about that. If they were to read it, it'd sound like a New Age mumbo-jumbo. But when you read it, and you realize, wow, it has Illuminati symbol at the bottom right-hand corner. It tells you. And then you have a little scriptural background. Then you start seeing how this thing coordinates with the Bible. because they have to use the Bible. They can't go outside the Bible because the Bible's true. It's got power. But God's way ahead of them. The idea is for you, me, all of us, to endure to the end. I know we go round and round with what's saved, always saved, and all that, but he that shall endure to the end shall be saved. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. It seems like a bit of confusion, and to see where we get, maybe just that, and then tomorrow night will be rapture. We'll see where we get, but it's very, very, very important that the concept of, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. It's very important, obviously. When one sees the verse, 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, it looks like Paul is boasting. However, Paul was humbled by his first encounter with Jesus and became an apostle. He encountered Jesus. He didn't, as some radio talk show host says, he visited him in his bedroom, or he was in his car. One radio talk show host does that. He's serious, too. He's dead serious. Dead serious. That's where he gets his knowledge from, Jesus, who talked to him through his bedroom. So you're sleeping, and poof, there comes Jesus. Oh, I don't doubt it. But it wasn't Jesus he saw. My guess is that he saw Sananda Manuel, though. So this means that this person that claims this is close to the supernatural and the indie cult. Because he's a very high-level talk show on occasion, and other times he's just quailing around and doing things. So, when people say, I've seen Jesus, I guess it means that Jesus didn't tell the truth when he told Thomas. Blessed are they who you believe because you've seen, but blessed are they who have not seen yet believe. So, how about that? So now people see Jesus and he goes against what he told Thomas? And yet they use different Bibles. They don't teach the truth about the scriptures. And yet Jesus saw them or visited them personally? No. Doesn't work that way. Paul was humbled by his encounter with Jesus physically. Jesus was in spiritual form. He met him on the way to Damascus. And Paul was the author of 12, if you count Hebrews, 13 books of the Bible. He even had to straighten out Peter, who got a little rambunctious at times. Paul had to humble Peter a little bit on occasion after Jesus left. You know, the thought is not so much that he had fought a good fight, Paul, but rather he'd fought with and was still fighting the good fight. It's namely the fight of faith. See, Paul had spent his energies in the good contest. We want to call it that. And this word fighting doesn't mean combat. It might well indicate an athletic contest, though, when you look at it in the context of 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. You know, just as Paul wrote, he realized that the hard race was nearly over. He'd been running on the course and was in the sight of the goal. Now, so Paul kept the faith. Now, this means not only that Paul himself had contained himself to believe and obey the great doctrines of the Christian faith. Listen now, not to be confused with Christianity. So being a Christian born-again Christian, following Jesus Christ and his holy word, is not really associated with Christianity. Now, before we go running off, think about it for a minute. What is Christianity? Jesus Christ proves Christianity. Well, actually, he doesn't. Christianity has 40,000 different sects of belief. So, when you say Christianity is proven by Jesus, which sect of the 40,000 you mean now? Because all of them are different. Even Baptist churches. Even Methodist churches got different things going on. One degree to the next. So which sect do you mean? Elmer Fuddites? Gambleites? Baptists? You mean, you know, because everybody adjusted. The Calvinists, the Preterists, the Lutherans. What? They all got different. Moravians? What? We not even got into Hindu and Buddha and Islam and all that's completely, totally radical. New Age, the I am my own God belief and all that, that's pretty much way out there. But Christianity is one of the most dangerous religions out there. You know why? Because they believe, I'm a Christian, that you're going to heaven. No. You got to repent of that sin, acknowledge to God that I've sinned and here it is, and I ask you to forgive me of it. Come into my life, come into my heart, forgive me of that sin. Here's the sin. I acknowledge it. I want to do better. Lord, come into my life. Well, now you got something going on. If he comes into you, something's going to change. He comes into your body. He takes control because you allow him to. But he still gives you free will. But you, by free will, have asked him to come into your life. Man, you can't help but be different. Not everything will change at once. But something, he'll take something away to let you know, I'm here. Paul kept the faith. Being a Christian does not necessarily mean following Christianity. It means following Jesus, not a religion. And Christianity uses all kinds of different books and Bibles and concepts and so forth. So that still can't be right. There's only one Bible, King James. Proven. You'll never prove otherwise. The falling away is coming. To say that the Bible's been misused, abused, and misled, but they'll be followed up by actual, what appears to be aliens or whatever nonsense they're going to come up with. Hollywood on steroids is coming. But you know that verse, 2 Timothy 4:7, kind of reminds me of another one. Matthew 24:13. Consistent. Matthew 24:13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Well, look at there. You see, the Holy Spirit moves in all of them. To where the verses coincide, and they never got together. They split up after Jesus left. Something else, too. You got in several of the prophets of the Old Testament, New Testament, they talk about the moon turning to blood. You know what they're doing? I caught this the other day, and I called them on it too. Those are prophets talking about the sixth seal. The sun will darken, the moon will turn its blood. Well, they read it in the other prophets, oh, that's one. Then they read another prophet, ah, there's two. See here in the they'll cover in Revelation. There's three, see? But they're talking about the same darn moon. The same sixth seal. See what they're doing? They're good at this stuff. That's why you got to know your Bible and know where the enemy is being deceptive. That's where they get these four blood moons. There have been four blood moons since time started. Four blood moons come and go. Nothing happened. Sometimes they'll come and something will happen. Can they make something happen? Mm-hmm. Using harp and technology. Hallucination, holograms. But Matthew 24:13, King James Bible, he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now that doesn't mean that men's souls will be saved at that time by their enduring. That's how people like to read it. Salvation is always presented in the Bible as a gift. A gift of God's grace received by faith in Christ's substitutionary death and resurrection. It's very important. That's why Jesus fulfilled the Sabbath. He didn't abolish it, like people like to say. Oh, so you're saying Jesus didn't got rid of the fourth commandment? No. Jesus Christ is the fourth commandment. He is the Sabbath. So there's no Saturday worship must be or Sunday worship must be. Not at all. You can worship any day you want. That in itself is not a Bible study. So it's kind of the same, and just getting right to the... Now, we could discuss that for an hour. But substitutionary. The Sabbath was given to the Jews, Jews alone. 10% tithing was given to the Jews and Jews alone. Because the Savior had not come yet. So when Jesus Christ was born, died, resurrected, ascended, he fulfilled his mission. It is finished. He became the Sabbath. So in other words, wife has husband being deployed. Wife has portrait or picture, and she every night talks to the picture. Okay, there you go. Talks to the picture, gives her comfort and all that. There's a picture of her husband, or husband to the wife, if you want to be even with it. She's coming back. He's going to be there physically later. But for the time being, while they're gone, you're talking to the picture. She gives you comfort. That's the same as the tithing and of animal sacrifice in shadow of things to come. Substitutionary. Okay, Christ died, rose again, resurrected. There you go. He fulfilled his mission to take all our sins on him. Well, no longer is he substitutionary. He is the Sabbath. So it's like the husband comes home. He's sitting there in the living room, but you're not talking to him or her. You're talking to the photo. Well, I'm over here. No, I've always been talking to this picture. I'm going to keep talking to it. Honey, I'm over here. Yeah, but I still want to talk to the picture. That's what you're doing when they say there's tithing, 10%. Or there's Saturday, Sunday worship. That is the Sabbath Sunday. That is the Sabbath Saturday, Seventh-day Adventist. No, it's not. Any day is okay as long as you worship Jesus. You pick a day, it doesn't matter what day. If you do Sunday, Sunday. You'll find that. Do not let anyone judge you by meat, holy day, or Sabbath. It's clear. So then when your husband is back from deployment, you put the photo away and you turn around and talk to him directly. Because he is the live photo. It's the same thing. Same example, the analogy. You see? That's the best way to explain it. The photo is substitutionary. No longer you must be there on Sunday. See, the reason I want you to do that for the Seventh-day Adventists is a cult group. Come so close to the truth, but they're a cult. Their leader was a Freemason, by the way. Same thing for Jehovah's Witness and Mormons. The reason I want you there on Saturday, and everybody worship on Saturday, that is Saturn worship, Saturnalia, Satan. Satan worship, Satan, Saturday. Sunday, it's the sun god Ra, Sunday. And they got you there to get you 10% tithing and make you feel guilty when you don't. See, tithing, when God sends you somebody, comes up to you, says, I need room for a hotel. I'm homeless, I'm hungry, I'm sorry, but, you know, that's your tithe. That is your tithing. It could be 5%, it could be everything in your wallet. I don't know. That's up to you and the Holy Spirit. But that is your tithe, not to the church. Church is going to use it to build another building or buy more bulletins or something instead of using it for food or for hunger or for people homeless or whatever, they build another addition to this church, for goodness sakes. They use it for, they shouldn't be used. They should, need to use it for people, to help people. But it goes to the National Council, World Council of Churches anyway, for their dues. Oh, they're sneaky. But you're tithing. Holy Spirit, when you're in touch with them, tells you what to do. Not your preacher, not your pastor, not your rabbi, pope, priest, or cardinal, or bishop, or whatever. It's the Holy Spirit inside you. Because you are the church. That's the church, not a religion. Not a name of some ism or entity or whatever it is. Especially when they're connected to the 501c3 or National Council of Churches or whatever. Mm-mm. I won't give them one red cent. I give it to somebody that needs it, but I don't give it to some church belonging to the National Council of Churches. Satan is clever. Well, they use the money to buy King James Bibles and trash those others. King James, only one, they don't do that. Yeah, there you go. So it's substitutionary. No longer substitutionary when Jesus came. Also, neither can it mean that all who endure will escape physical harm. You know, we've already learned through Bible study that many believers will be martyred. Verse 9 is a general statement that those who stand fast, enduring persecution without failing, will falling into apostasy, will be delivered at Christ's second advent. No one should ever imagine that apostasy will be a means of escape or safety. It's coming. Only God knows the heart. Only those who have true faith shall be saved to the end. Keep in mind that the saving faith may have lapses, it always has the quality of permanence. But if he is with you, which he is, okay, then he'll remind you, don't go there. He'll always give you a way to escape. And you know, it actually matches, ironically enough, 1 Timothy 4:7. 2 Timothy 4:7 matches 1 Timothy 4:7. You know what it says? But refuse profane and old wives' tale, fables. Exercise thyself rather than godliness, unto godliness. But refuse profane and old wives' tales, fables. Did it again, didn't I? And exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Again, there's a reference to exercise as athletical event. To exercise it as a physical event. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And then 1 Timothy 4:7 refers itself to exercising rather than unto godliness. So, in this verse, 1 Timothy 4:7, Paul's but thinking again, once again, of a Christian service as a form of athletic event, of running a race. Now, in verse 6, kind of notice that he spoke of a suitable diet for one who's serving Christ. He should be, quote-unquote, nourished, in the words of the faith, to prove thyself approved unto judgment. And of the good doctrine, of which if you're missing a verse, like all the other Bibles, you can't because the verse is not there. How's that such a problem for preachers these days to understand? How do you study yourself approved when you're missing 237 verses of NIV? 100,000 words of the New King James Bible. How's that work? I haven't figured that one out yet. When the verse is gone, how do you study it when it's not there? I've yet to understand that part, but anyway. In verse 7, he speaks of exercise. It has godliness as its aim. So the apostle advises Timothy to reject profane and old wives' fables. He's not to combat them or spend a lot of time on them. Rather, to disdain them, to treat them with contempt. Old wise fables makes us think of Christian Science. It's founded by a woman that seemed to appeal especially to elderly women and teaches them fables instead of truth. Christian Science. Unitarianism. Oh, this is, oh my gosh, there's so many. So instead of wasting time on myths and fables, he should exercise himself with godliness. And so such exercise involves reading and studying the Bible, prayer, meditation, not yoga meditation, but meditation and prayer, and witnessing to others, which is what the, who is it? Oof, drew a blank. Calvinists say you're not supposed to. Well, that ended the friendship one time, about 3 years ago. I said, the woman I was talking to on a regular basis knew a lot about witchcraft and was a Christian, but there's some funny things about her. I don't know if she knew a lot about the occult. Always talked about Jesus, but knew a lot about the occult, which got my attention. Like, And then one day on the air, broadcast, like 3 years ago, was talking about the occult and all that, which I had her on as a guest in the show, my show. But they let slip that, of course, we're not supposed to evangelize others. I said, whoa, hold on, man. Whoa, back up. I said, well, yeah, we are on the air. And I said, well, no, we're not. I said, whoa, yeah. Well, it got worse from there. And she ended up leaving the show. We are supposed to evangelize. We're supposed to witness to others. It's called the Great Commission, but the Calvinists say you don't. Yeah. When Jesus said only those that endured to the end would be saved, what do you think that means? You know, I asked that question here on our air. It's like someone's going to raise their hand and say, this is it. Is this statement that people must go through the tribulation and be saved and there'll be proof that there's no rapture before tribulation? No. Many people use the text 24:13 as evidence that we cannot be raptured before the tribulation. Man, they twist that thing like a pretzel. The passage is interpreted as saying that we have to endure and survive all the way through to the end of the tribulation to be saved. But what does the passage in the Bible really say, though? Matthew 24:13. But he that endured to the end, the same shall be saved. Now, note that the question imparts two particular meanings to the text, two of them. But he that shall endure, physically survive, unto the end of the tribulation, the same shall be saved. Now, did Jesus really say that, or was Jesus saying something else? The problem is that those additions create a new doctrine that's completely contrary to Scripture. Mankind comes up with this. Nowhere is our physical survival listed as important and necessary for salvation in the Bible. Matthew 16:25. For example, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. Well, there you go. Matthew 16:26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Poor boy, we could answer that one, huh? If you're a Freemason, if you're one of the Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, you've heard me spout that off many times. They've given their soul. Movie stars, singers, dancers. They've given their soul in the entertainment world, in the educational world, every bit of it. Especially the entertainment world. high-level politics. There's no such thing as the American dream. Mama, when I get big, I want to be the president. Well, honey, you can be president if you work really hard. No, that's a lie. You'll only be president if you're a member of Skull and Bones and you're a member of the Merovingian bloodline. In a lot of cases, unless you're a Mason, you're not going to get promoted. That's reality. I know this for a fact. I worked for a company as security manager for a BP oil refinery. Yes, I did. Security company contract to BP in Indiana. And I worked for a company called Guardsmark. Now, this is like 7 years ago. And I was the security manager. I'd have to drive like 60, 70 miles every morning and go from Chicago to Indiana. Every morning, drive back at night. And Guardsmark is based out of Memphis, Tennessee. Well, it started with one of my lower level managers, a shift supervisor. Oh, he's into the money. Let me tell you, he had a Cadillac. He's Italian. He has his own business on the side. Works security too. I mean, you know, wow. Had a big Cadillac. Some people would love to have as a house. So, but he wanted another car. This is a brand new Cadillac. I said, man, I said, you got a Cadillac. You want another car? I said, I'm sorry to hasten to bust your bubble, but that Cadillac eventually is going to turn into rust. You can worship it all you want, but money is power. Power make his fist white when you make a fist. He said, power. Money is power. Here's a Freemason. He asked me one day, you're a traveling man. I said, no. When he first asked me, I said, yes. I said, well, I've been to Saudi Arabia. No, not that. I knew exactly what he was talking about. That's a question you ask. Are you a traveling man? You're supposed to say east to west. I travel and whatever. Then they know you're a Freemason. I knew what he's asking. I just played along with it. He said, you should come to the lodge. Strike one. I said, I can't do that. I'm a Christian. I can't do it. I am too. I said, well, I can't take those blood oaths. The next manager up the level came in one day and said, Tommy, you want to go to the lodge sometime? I said, I can't do that. Strike two. And then number three, the higher level manager came by one day. This is what happened. Blah, 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 whether this, whether that, how's this, how's that. Oh, by the way, you will come to the lodge. I said, I can't do that. I had a female manager over me. Boy, after that, for 2 months, she hammered me every which way they could. I hung on for 2 months. I mean, screaming, yelling, carrying on. I'm like, wow, man. And I went to my manager over her. He said, nothing I can do about it. So he played me both sides. And I refused. I was even asked by a fourth person who was a friend of mine and a fellow Marine who was a contractor in the same BP oil refinery. Tom, he knew I knew a lot about the Illuminati, and he said, you want to be a member of the Illuminati? I said, man, I can't do that. I said, well, you all. Well, 2 months, I had to resign. I said, I can't deal with this. It's too much. So I resigned. Well, you know what I found out? The owner of Guardsmark was a member of the Council of Foreign Relations. I said, Lord, you put me in the fire furnace, man, on that one. That's true. True story. He was a member of the Council of Foreign Relations as Guardsmark owner. That's where I started learning more about the Council of Foreign Relations and the power they had. So if I was a Freemason, that means that I wouldn't report certain things, or I would hire somebody that I shouldn't, or, you see, and I don't work that way. That ain't going to happen. So if you're a Freemason, you're obliged by your contract, your oath, to do what they want. Well, as they say on the street, homie, don't play that. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Ain't no blood oath, I tell you that right now. So, salvation in the Bible, I lost that job and about one more after that because I would not become a Freemason. I'm not bitter over it. I just feel sorry for them. Salvation in the Bible is also dependent upon our faithfulness and obedience to God. Therefore, you read the passage another way. It can say, when you look at it in this context, but he that shall endure in faithfulness unto the end of his life, the same shall be saved. Now, you might argue that the meaning of end is supplied by the context, but what it is, speaking of tribulation or trials unto death, each of us might have evidence for our view in a verse that we can find previously, which says, Matthew 24:9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and they shall kill you, and shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Family, the fifth seal, when it starts, is the souls under the altar. Those that's going to be persecuted and killed. The day's coming to America. When? Don't know when. I wouldn't worry about it. As long as you got Jesus on your side. So, obviously, this context is about trials unto death. It can be seen as tribulation, but on a personal level. Certainly, during the tribulation, the faithful will be put to death by the Antichrist. Now we're talking about something different here. And still in the same realm. So we each have a context to support each of our views. But there's always a however, because the scriptures are alive. You know, the view that the end refers to survival of the time of tribulation, that's contrary to the teaching that those who are faithful unto death will be saved and resurrected. So, to answer that, you go to Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast. See, that's yet to come. Neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. It's clear. So Revelation 20 conclusively proves that you can die during the tribulation. Or someone left behind would, that decided to go, who knows. So maybe the rapture won't be till after the sixth seal. Don't know. Nobody knows. You don't need to physically survive the trials, and you'll still be saved and resurrected. Therefore, I submit to y'all as proof that the one interpretation must be wrong, and the passage must be saying absolutely nothing about a needing to survive to the end of the tribulation to be saved. You see? So that gives the rise to the post-tribulation rapture. See, you got to be saved to the end, so that means it's post-tribulation rapture. Yeah, they're sneaky, ain't they? I suggest that the best and only valid reading of the passage is that it's speaking of enduring faithful to the end of your life, and then you'll be saved. And there's other passages in the Bible which echo this meaning. I can say I'm a Christian, but it doesn't mean that I am a born-again Christian. 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all. There's an exercise again. But one receives a prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. 27. But I keep under my body, bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away. As 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27, we may go a little over tonight, if you don't mind. I think I need to finish this tonight. This is very important. 1 Corinthians 9, or if you have to go, you can go and it'll still be recorded. 1 Corinthians 9, 24, 27. You have... But I keep under my body, bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away. You know, this in itself is a Bible study. So he disciplined his body and brought it into subjection, like Rocky. And lest he had preached to others, he himself might be rejected or disqualified. In the Christian life, there's a necessity for self-control, for temperance, and for discipline. We must practice self-mastery. You know what I'm going to do? Y'all, that in itself is a Bible study from 9:24 to 9:27. I think that deserves its own day, because it's quite lengthy, the explanation, and to quantify it, I just gave you a brief summary of it. Because it goes more into Israel as well, how it applies. The Bible is so much alive, man. This is amazing. Philippians 3, about enduring to the end, is a physical thing, to the end of your life. Philippians 3, verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for his excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made comfortable until his death. Now here's, watch this. If by any means I might attain unto resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which I am apprehended of Jesus Christ, Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to be apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, remember I've talked about that before, and reaching forth unto those things which are before us, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's the key. Not looking behind, but looking forward. And this kind of might seem contrary to the doctrine of once saved, always saved. It keeps popping up. But I'm saying the Bible is clearly teaching that you must endure faithful to the end of your life, not the tribulations. And I disagree with the once saved, always saved view in some cases, but then again, he'll always provide you a way to escape. So that can be debated. Personally, I think that if you're born again, you can sin, but you're going to be convicted of it. You're going to feel that twist. that conviction, that guilt. That's God talking to you. He'll always provide you a way out. He's not taking away your free will. So that does lean toward once saved, always saved. But it gives you that way. Now, if you were never saved in the first place, but thought you were, then it doesn't apply. Because you weren't saved in the first place. But if you're really born again, He's not just going to let you go on your own. He's going to convict you of guilt. He's going to convict you of, He's going to humble you to give you a way out. But we all have free will. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved, means the end of your life, not the end of the tribulations. That's the simple part of it. But they try to complicate it. Say, no, it's post-trib. You must go through the 7 years. Say, what? That's never happened. He always pulls his people out when God's wrath comes down upon mankind. But individual tribulations, yeah. Well, family, we hit nail on the head, 9 o'clock. Go figure. I think that's good for tonight, because that's a lot right there. And then tomorrow night, we'll talk a little bit about the rapture, and we'll look at 1 Corinthians 9 again, and talk about the rapture tomorrow night. So this begins another week. Closer to that solstice they talk about in the spring, dollar crash and who knows what else. It's all in God's timing. They've been saying that now for decades. 1800s, 1880s. End of the world here. Didn't happen. World War I, war to end all wars. Well, that sure didn't happen. 1943, 45, at New World Order. And the maps is all set up. 6 phases, world government. That didn't happen. Again in 72, 73, it didn't happen. 62, didn't happen. It's all set up, though. 84, 87, didn't happen. 1999, supposed to have taken place for sure, didn't happen. Don't mean it won't this time. See, that's the very reason they're trying to get all the states to lift the ban on same-sex marriage. Make drugs legal. Child euthanasia. All that is going away from the Bible, which means America will pull away from the Bible. By changing the laws, you go against God. Therefore, you take away the opportunity for the Bible to be represented, and take away the opportunity for the person to do the right thing, because the laws are changing. Now, you got a problem. And when enough states do that, and the United States pulled away from God by changing the laws, and this is a strategy they know they're trying to put forth to get God to pull away so they can have the new world order. Because the prayers of a righteous man avails much. And they know that. So you got to create the falling away to bring in the new world order. That's the game being played right now. That people don't realize. And we're the last bastion, as they planned. Christians all migrated here. That's another thing I've talked about. So now they got to focus on us. Now the Bible Belt, that had slaves, by the way. That's it. Before you know it, you're in the first seal. And you're going to go to work then. Wherever it is. All this is practice. Well, family, thank you all for coming tonight. I'm going to close in prayer. Remind you, before I go, about my broadcast and Bible studies being played at highpointradio.net. You can listen up there randomly. It didn't have a certain time. He being John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, and he plays my shows and Bible studies randomly on highpointradio.net in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. And you can find the sponsors there and use them if you have a need. Also, my website, watchmanforjesus.com, and my Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. We'll close in prayer, and then we'll see you all tomorrow afternoon, 4 to 6. Lord, thank you tonight. bring us together, Father, in another Bible study. Thank you, Father, for the Bible study, for your word, your holy word. Father, we pray for our families. We pray for our loved ones. We pray that you give us the opportunities to witness to others in divine appointments. Father, we pray for those we prayed for in the past for their healing, for their protection in being new Christians. And cover them in the blood of Jesus, Lord, as they go through their new studies. And those, Father, that witnessing, you protect them and give them the courage and give them the knowledge that they can witness to others to lead them to you. Guide us this week, Lord, as we go through the scriptures and the world situation, Lord, as you give us wisdom to see through it, all this deception. These things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Family, got to go now. And I appreciate you all coming by. And we shall see you tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. Continue on with rules of engagement. Very important. Very important that these commanders, if anyone ever hears my broadcast, to know just what kind of nonsense that they're being put up against that's costing people's lives. And how the outcome of these wars are already predetermined by using the rules of engagement. So tactics don't fit in anymore. And never did. And that's an eye-opener. I don't know if I could ever get this across to some commanders, but that hit me one day. It's all connected. I said, I can't believe this. The absurdity of it all. It can be proven. That's the craziest part of it. Y'all have a good night. And God bless you all. And tomorrow we're going to hit the ground running. Oh, yeah. 4 o'clock. I'm going to bring a hammer, ball peen hammer with me. Rest this week if I can. And get it out while we still can. Good night. God bless you. It's Thomas Gamble. I am your host, your Bible study leader. And this is the Watchman for Jesus program and Bible study. And good night. See y'all tomorrow. Signing off.
Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
I am with you every day to the end.